Today's scripture is Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and Acts 3, 1 through 12, and 24 through 26.
The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power of godliness we had made this man walk?"
Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers, he said to Abraham. "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways.
Thank you, Aiden. Thank you, Logan. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed something from someone else? Maybe it was as mundane a situation as during a meal you realize that your iced tea has gotten low and that you need a refill, but you look across the table and realize the pitcher is sitting next to your spouse. And the complication is that just before dinner you were in an argument. Do you ask your spouse for some more tea? Do you get up and walk over and get the pitcher, which communicates a whole nother ball of situation? Or do you just ignore it and suffer because you couldn't ask for it? Or perhaps it's the situation you're working on a lawnmower and you realize you don't have the tool that you need, and you decide, "Well, my neighbor's been very hospitable and has extended has given me a number of tools to use. And you realize, just as you're walking out of your garage, you trip over a tool that you should have returned 2 months ago. Do you take that tool and go ask in an apology request? Do you ignore that tool and hope that the neighbor will just forget about it and ask anyway? Or do you just drive to the store and buy your own tool? How do we work through these kinds of situations? Or perhaps a more serious matter, you've lost your job. Through a series of situations we won't get into, but now the bills are still coming. You're still trying to figure out how to balance your budget. Do you ask your parents for help? Do you say, well, this is just a passing moment. I can ask my parents for help. But then do you start thinking about some of the medical bills that your parents are paying and the need to have a nest egg sitting over there to support them in their retirement? Do you ask? Or in another situation, say you were at school and you've forgotten your calculator. Do you turn to a classmate and ask for help? But it just so happens that classmate is one you know will annoy you from that point forward, saying, you asked me for a calculator. We think about a number of these kinds of situations, and perhaps we have seen movies or television shows or remember stories like Rumpelstiltskin where that intimidating moment might come, saying, I extended this hospitality to you, but one day, at any moment, I will come to you for a favor and you will have to respond. Do we live under those kinds of fears and anxieties? Human relationships are complicated. We constantly feel like there needs to be a balance, and yet these kinds of requests and these kinds of moments, these kinds of periods when we are in need, put us in a position of weakness. And if we're constantly thinking about power relationships, we might get worried in these scenarios. We might be so proudful that we never ask for help. And just as we were at the supper table, stewing in our anger, not willing to ask for some iced tea, we just bring more suffering on ourselves. So I want you to think in that direction as we turn to this passage in the book of Acts today. This is that time period now when we are observing closely to see what the disciples are going to do with this new responsibility, with this new title, apostle. What does that then leave them to do? What ministries are they going to take up? It's interesting here, there are a number of points of commonality. The disciples were Jews. Jesus was a Jew. Many of Jesus' sermons were given in synagogues and within the context of a Jewish audience. So it's natural here to see the apostles, in this case, Peter and John, going on their way to the temple for a time of prayer in the afternoon. And they come into contact with a person who has been outside the temple before. And so we're wondering, have they seen this man before? And it's a situation where this man could not get to the temple by himself. He's a lame man. And so friends and family, for an undetermined amount of time, have been taking him to the temple to beg. He is a common face for the people, the devoted people who walk to the temple and worship in the temple. They have seen this man lying in the street begging for his living. He is in need. He is in desperation. There's not much that he can do. If he can't move about, all sorts of jobs are off the table. And now here, lying on the ground, depending upon the benevolence of those in this town, we wonder how many people have walked by him. Has he gotten cynical about the people in his town? Does he know certain faces who are smiling faces who do come up and support him? But is he worrying in those exchanges, will I have to do something for them? But I can't do something for them. You think about all the things that are going on in his mind, feeling his character, feeling his sense of self-worth plummeting in the midst of this. And then dealing with those people who half smile when they walk by and just keep on walking in that embarrassing moment of looking at him, seeing his need, and walking on. Or those people who don't even bother to make eye contact, who completely ignore him, who just keep on walking into the temple to worship, to praise God. And yet they are consistently walking by this poor, lame man. And yet the man continues to cry out for help. There's not much else that he can do. And so perhaps it's a point where he might hold up a cup or a bowl and cry out and not really maintain eye contact with anyone. It's just too heart-wrenching when someone makes eye contact and nothing happens. So maybe he's gotten into the habit of looking at the ground or looking at other people's feet as he holds up his bowl and cries out for help. Yet this is a new day. The Holy Spirit has come upon the apostles. And here, Peter and John hear the man's cries, turn to him, and what do they say? It's the very first thing. Look at me. Look at me. Let's maintain eye contact. Let me treat you as a fellow human being. Let me acknowledge that you also are a child of God. Make eye contact with me. That is a huge step when you think of all the suffering that this man has endured. Then where does it go? The lame man may not like what Peter says initially here. Silver and gold have I none. Okay, the man saying, well, then what can you do for me? I'm begging for money, for support. I need financial help. All the things that I need to put bread on the table to support me. And you say you don't have any gold or silver? But that's not the end of Peter's statement. He goes on to say, but such as I have, what I have, I give you. And here is where the miracle takes place. Peter reaches forward and lifts the man. He touches him. Another recognition of his humanity. And then as he lifts him, the power of the Holy Spirit moves in this moment and brings healing to the man. And as he stands, he might have begun that journey with a great deal of doubt, and wondering, what in the world are you doing? How can you lift me? Don't you see I've been lying here all this time? But then quickly that changes as he feels strength returning to his legs. And when he gets to the top, he now can stand. And not only can he stand, he starts taking steps again. And that sense of a miracle taking place. What I have, I give you. Those words ringing in his ears as God's Spirit moves among him and the crowd. And what is that crowd doing? The crowd that had been bustling, rustling by, many embarrassed, others ignoring, maybe an occasional few who know the man, who have given to him before, pause to see what Peter and John would do. But now when this man is standing to his feet and dancing around, those immediately there just stand there, their jaws open, wondering what in the world is going on. And the skepticism there turning. And now they start focusing on Peter and John and wondering what in the world is going on with them. How could this have happened? Peter steps forward. He recognizes another teaching moment, just like on the day of Pentecost. We saw his first sermon there. This sermon is very similar. He immediately launches into implicating the crowd in Jesus' crucifixion. Knowing that many of these same people who were walking by this lame man had also been in the crowd that had yelled, "Crucify him," to Pilate on Jesus' behalf. And now Peter, again, as he said on the day of Pentecost, says, "That was not accidental. You didn't win. Jesus didn't become solely a martyr, one of the ones who died because we're barbaric people and we soon forget and we tell their stories on occasion to make ourselves feel guilty. No, Jesus did not stay in the tomb. Jesus rose from the grave, and in that rising from the grave, God fulfilled a plan that had been in place all the way back, at least, to Abraham. And here Peter says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of you Jewish people, is the same God who raised Jesus from the dead. And now, in your presence, God's Spirit is moving among us and allowing for this type of healing to take place. And so there, Peter affirming Jesus' position as Messiah and also reminding the Jewish people that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah and that he did fulfill promises that God had in place for centuries. And that God was moving among them. So what a wonderful story about meeting the needs of a man who thought that morning when he went to the temple, it would be just the same old story. Today, we might also face times when we are in need, like the lame man. I pray that you will never be in a situation as desperate as his. But we know life throws us curveballs all the time. And one morning we think will be like any other day, will be a day when a turn comes that will forever mark or change the rest of our lives. We may then end up in a position where we are asking others for help. What are we going to do in that situation? Will we see God working through these individuals? Part of what it is to live in community is a reciprocity in times of need. That if someone else is in need and we have the resources to help, we will extend that to them. But then the hard lessons come on the other side when we are in need. When we have to push aside feelings of pride. When we have to acknowledge our own mortality, our own weaknesses, and stand before God asking for help, and how God can use others to reach out and to support us. That lame man discovered that on that day, and he discovered God's power working through Peter and John. We as individual believers, as disciples of Christ, learn what it is to care and to support for one another. Just as we said here, Peter and John are growing into the title of apostle. We Baptists have professed that each member is a minister. Each member is an apostle for Christ. And so as we come to Christ's table in the Lord's Supper, as we come and study the Gospels and the life of our Lord, we learn more about what it is to be sensitive to the needs of the people who are around us. That's not to say that we won't ever half smile at someone that we walk by in need. But perhaps we will pause, ask a prayer of forgiveness, and turn around and help. To reach out for those moments. But in those moments, as we sang earlier in this service, as we reach out to help someone, we will be aware of the needs of holding up that person's pride and that person's sense of self-worth even as we help them. Trying to understand how difficult it is to receive help. We may be motivated by love in reaching out and helping, but there are times when we have to just pause. Close our mouths. Listen. Let the other person tell us what he or she needs before we step in and assume that we are the answer. And so we allow for the Holy Spirit to work through us and to acknowledge, just as Peter did in saying, "Look at me." And when he reached out and touched him, the common humanity of the other person. That person isn't just an object of your compassion, but that person is a child of God, deserving of your attention, deserving of the space to communicate to you what is needed in that situation. And throughout all of this, as we draw closer to Christ, we learn that as we give, we may be in a situation, just like Peter and John, of not having much gold and silver. We may not be the CEO of a large company who can give hundreds of thousands of dollars to a cause. But we realize in that moment that God has given us certain resources. And that God has given us the greatest privilege of all of communicating the love of Christ to someone else. And in those moments, we will learn the power of saying, "What I have, I give you." We come now to our time of invitation and commitment. Hymn number 424, the Servant Song. If you've never made a commitment to be a disciple of Christ, this church offers this opportunity for you to walk forward, for us to pray for you and to encourage you as you start that journey. Now also is a time for each of us, who are believers, to remember the role of being an apostle to our community, of listening to the Holy Spirit and reaching out and sharing that love with others. Let us stand together and sing our hymn of invitation, 424.